Yes, it is Pet Chat, and we've got the full team here today. Cheryl's back, and Dr. Fiona Giblin
How
is with us today.
Amanda?
I'm good, thank you. Lovely to see you both.
Absolutely.
And Cheryl, it was your birthday last week. How was it?
Oh, it's lovely. Thank you.
Had a great time. Yes. Wonderful. Well, it's nice to see you back, and I'm looking at your pin that you've got on today. Mm-hmm. It's a bit hard to see. It's full of bling.
It's full of bling.
Is it a poodle?
It's a little poodle playing with a toy, and I'm going to be talking about toys today and safety with toys.
Okay, yeah, that would be interesting because I'm assuming a lot of people have different toys for dogs and certain ones might not be as good as others.
That's for sure.
Mm, and Dr. Fiona, do you have anything or am I springing it on you right now?
You can spring it on me, but Cheryl's talk today, I feel like I could add quite a lot of information and stories to tell based on what we're talking about with toys.
Pet toy issues, mm-hmm. Cheryl. So what are the toys that we should avoid, I guess?
So in Australia, there's actually no regulation. So it's a really big problem in our industry that there's no regulations, no standard for dog toys. Now, when we think about children's toys, there's plenty of intervention if there's something wrong. They're recalled, things happen. So owners of dogs are in a real dilemma when it comes to buying something because so many of the toys out there can be dangerous. Toys are important, though. They are really important for stimulation for the dog, for exercise, environmental sort of fulfillment for dogs, and also that interaction with the human. But one of the problems is that so many toys contain toxic materials. So that can be anything from glues, it can be, you know, really bad PVCs, you know, products that just have toxic chemicals in them. And often owners don't realise. They might go into the aisles where you can buy lots and lots of dog toys. And actually, I don't know if you girls have smelt it. When you go where there's a lot of dog toys,
you smell the plastic.
Yeah, those odours are terrible. And I think if we can smell that, what's happening with the dogs when they're smelling that? Mm. That's really concerning. But anyway, we need to be mindful when we are buying something. There's no real warnings on it. You know, you might get something contains no toxic materials. Well, that's good. But then we don't always know. So when you're selecting toys, if it's a material or a fabric toy, make sure that the seams are double stitched. You want something that's really sturdy. And also the selection of toys. If you've got a small dog, you don't want to give that small dog toy to a large dog because there's potential for that dog to swallow it. And that does happen, Dr. Fiona, doesn't it? They take on those little toys.
Absolutely. And a lot of the toys, as you mentioned, are sort of designed for a particular size dog. And the reason they're designed for that size dog is based on the size of the toy and the size of the dog's mouth. Mm. So if you give a little toy to a large dog, it's not going to be chewed. It's likely to just be swallowed. And vice versa, if you've got a really small dog with a small jaw and you give them a toy designed for a larger dog, they're not going to be able to chew it, or if it's too hard, worst case scenario, you know, chip a tooth or something like that. So it is relevant to get the right size toy for the dog.
Yeah. And the other thing is too, sometimes you'll see, indestructible will be written on the label.
It's like Titanic.
Pretty much.
It's just not true. There's dogs that are so determined to destroy toys and they'll have them done in seconds. The other thing, when you do buy your dog a new toy, regardless to whether it be a small dog or a large dog, watch that interaction with that toy when you first give it, because sometimes some dogs will be quite, you know, vicious with that toy and try to chew it up or, you know, could again ingest things that they shouldn't be ingesting. The other thing is check your toys regularly, and, you know, you need to be proactive about this, because if a dog has chewed a little bit out of a toy, that can then become a problem. It could be a fluffy toy that's got, you know, the polyfiber content. Also, they can have little squeakers in them. All of these things pose a problem to our dogs. So making sure that we're selecting a toy that is, you know, durable but also safe. Once it gets a little bit of destruction on it, bin it. It needs to go. You know, there's laws for the companion animals. There's laws that prevent us from realising that the onus isn't actually on the producers or the manufacturers. It's actually on the owner. So that act for the animal cruelty actually comes back to the owner to make sure that they're the ones that are responsible for the dog's environment and accessories. So that act is from 2025 and 19... $79, I think.
Right, so yeah. Don't assume that the toys that you buy for your pets at the shops are okay for your
That's
pets.
That's right, yep. So you've got to be really vigilant in what you're buying and making sure that, you know, they are as good as you can possibly get. The other thing is that recently I was reading about a poor golden retriever who died due to a rope chew. I hate rope chews. I just think they are so dangerous. And I know a lot of vets like them for chewing to clean a bit of plaque off the teeth. But when they fray, they just cause so many obstructions. And death is one of those things that really is high on the list with rope chews.
There's just, I mean, it comes back to what you were saying, keep an eye on the toy, monitor it. You know, if it's looking like it's missing bits of that long stringy fibre, they are potentially incredibly dangerous, as you've said, because they're what's called a linear foreign body. Mm. So they're long and thin, and they have a real potential to cut through the intestine as they're passing and causing real intestinal issues. So, yeah, bottom line, as you say, pick the right toy for the right dog. Watch it when it first starts chewing it and monitor it and make sure there's no eyeballs missing or stuffing missing or an ear off a teddy bear or the squeaker is a toy in the toy is a big one or the whole ball is now half a ball, you know, those sorts of things. Just remove them before they become an obstruction.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll continue with that chat later. We've got Jenny from Caves Beach on the line. Thanks for holding, Jenny. How can we help you?
That's all right. I have he's about 6 years old, little Papillon, Louis.
Yeah.
A bit of a naughty dog.
Sounds like it. Tell me more.
Well, he was a run for the litter, so he's very tiny. And he's got fine hair and it gets matted. So I try to pick him up and he wants to bite.
So can you pick him up at any time, Jenny?
No.
Okay.
He's angry little boy.
Has he always been this way, Jenny?
Probably not. Not always. So I don't know why he's, you know, like that sort of.
Is he de-sexed, Jenny?
Yes. He's okay. De-sexed. Yeah. Because he needs his, you know, nails cutting and his hair all trimmed up.
Needs a mani-pedi and a haircut, hey?
Yeah, but I don't, because he's so tiny, I try to find a thing to put around his nose and a muzzle, but I just can't seem to get the right size there. So I'll have to maybe take the female in, which is a bit bigger, and get her fitted and get the smaller one than that for him, because he's, you know, he's a little runt.
Sounds like, Jenny, we potentially need a bit of behaviour training there. Has he seen a vet recently at all?
No.
I think because obviously, you know, those things.
And all that.
Sorry?
He has all his needles up to date.
Okay, excellent. I think there is absolutely things that we can give him to make him more relaxed and make it easier for him to get his hair cut or to have his nails trimmed, but they are veterinary prescription products, okay? So you'd have to call up your vet and speak to them about it, see whether it's something they would, if he's been seen recently, it might be something that they're prepared to give you over the counter, or it might be that he needs another check over to be prescribed those medications. But they're really good for anxiety and stress for him, and it means that you can potentially groom him if he needs it, or the clinic itself can cut his nails or cut the mats off or whatever he needs, because we don't want him getting hurt and stressed, and we certainly don't want you or any of the staff getting hurt as well.
No, he's a very funny boy. He watches TV. And some ads he doesn't like, and he gets there and he goes, but really like loud.
Sounds like
he's on about certain ads.
Sounds like he knows what he likes and what he doesn't like, hey?
I mean, Corolla was inside, and we used to sing out, shut up, help me, so I put the bird out because it was just too noisy.
Yeah, look, I'd give your vet a call, Jenny, whoever you use, and discuss with them the situation, and they will absolutely be able to give you some advice and some medication if appropriate.
And we're talking about toys that aren't so great for your dogs, maybe even your cats as well. What else can you tell us about that?
So there are just so many examples I can think of, Amanda, of things that we've seen in hospital or in clinic due to inappropriate toy use. So we touched on making sure that the toy is the right size for your dog. So if you've got a really big, hard chew and you've got a little dog chewing it, if that toy is harder than the dog's tooth, you can fracture the tooth. And if you get a fractured tooth, it needs to be either have root canal or capping, all sorts of very amazing things that our specialist dentist can do, or it needs surgical removal, because that's incredibly, incredibly painful to have a tooth with the nerve and the blood supply exposed. So that would be one example of potential side effect of the wrong sort of toy. We also touched on sort of more your fabric or your long stringy type toys. So they become an issue if they get stuck in the intestine, and they act like a really long piece of cotton, almost. Actually, cotton in cats is a really, really common obstruction. And because it's so fine and thin, the intestine, with the action of the intestine, it tries to keep moving that object down, but ends up can cut through the intestine, and then we end up with all sorts of unsavory things happening within the abdomen. But yeah, so checking those fabric toys, if you know your dog's a chewer or a destroyer of toys, making sure that they're being supervised, or cats for that matter, making sure they're being supervised when they're using it, so that you can detect, oh, that little teddy arm is looking a little bit floppy, I'll remove this toy before the teddy arm gets swallowed. Or the eyes, you know, the hard plastic eyes off a soft toy, they're a common one. And often dogs that really go for those squeaky toys as well, once they've destroyed the squeaky toy, the actual squeak inside then becomes quite highly important and of high value. And we don't, you know, that's sort of, you know, the size of a ping pong ball or a bit smaller. So that's prime obstruction type size. And actually in hospital today, we have a dog who ate a small ball on a walk. Just picked it up on a walk and swallowed it. And we tried various different things to get it out last night and it didn't work. So x-rayed it this morning and sure enough, there's the ball in the intestine. So, and that's another example of the wrong size toy for the dog. Now, obviously, this was an accident. Most of the time, these things are accidents. But it's just highlighting, I guess, how vigilant we need our owners to be. Right size toy for the pet.
Are there any sorts of toys that are good? Like you would say, okay, well, if you're going to go and buy a toy, these are the ones that I'd recommend.
Yeah, well, certainly a couple of things. You know, if we think about the size of the pet's mouth, if it's too big to be swallowed, is a good start. So, you know, some dogs love balls. Well, let's make sure the ball is big enough that maybe it can be carried around but not swallowed, okay? Or a toy that, if you know your dog's a chewer and a destroyer, there are certain brands of chew toys or tug toys that are designed for, there's actually a line that's designed for like zoo animals, you know, like your polar bears and your lions and tigers. So you can imagine how strong they would have to be. Doesn't have to be quite that extreme, but there are products out there suitable for dogs that are real chewers that are designed and actually are indestructible rather than ones that say they're indestructible.
Another one that we haven't actually spoken about, it's often when people get a young puppy, there's a little thing called a beating heart and people buy those and they've got a battery in them. So if you've got a dog that's a chewer, it might not be necessarily the puppy, it may be another dog in the family, that they chew and get into those batteries, that's really sort of a very, very dangerous situation.
Yeah, batteries are bad news. For the same reason they're bad news for kids. You know, a battery can leak acid, basically, because the casing of the battery can be dissolved by your stomach acid, and then the contents of that battery, which includes acid, can then burn parts of the intestine and make it very inflamed. The other reason it can be really dangerous, A, is the contents of the battery, but B, if you've got a chewed battery, that's like chewed metal, okay? So it's very sharp, very able to damage any part of the intestine. Again, I can easily think of two examples recently where a dog chewed a battery and the owner really intelligently, the owner and the nurse had decided that the owner needed to bring the chewed part of the battery in so we could see, A, what sort of battery it is, and B, how much battery is left and that sort of thing. And then we x-rayed the dog to see if the remainder of the battery was in the dog, because a battery will show up very well on x-ray. And initially the x-ray that was taken from sort of, I would say, the neck to the tail. So I got most of the dog, but then I got the more junior staff to re-x-ray because between the neck and the nose wasn't on the x-ray. And I'm like, it's probably not there, but we have to make sure that the entire dog has been checked. And what usually happens, and what happened in this case, is there was no battery.
Mm.
So probably it's under the couch or tucked, you know, somewhere. But it's just the sort of thing that can be so dangerous, so you always have to check.
As far as quality toys go, are we, you know, are we avoiding cheap shops, or, you know, does it sort of equate?
Most dog toys are made overseas, so they're mostly imported from China. So there are toys that aren't, and that's what we've got to be looking at. Where are these toys being made? What are they made from? Are those materials safe? And again, gets back to the breed of dog. But, yeah, really look at what you're looking to buy. You know, that purchase, just don't get a, oh, that looks cute, I'll get that. Because it's often the cute factor that us humans go with, that we see something, we go, oh, that's a cute little ducky, let's buy that. Yet, you know, its eyes are potentially dangerous. It might have a plastic beak that they'll chew off in no time.
Mm-hmm. Or little dangly feet that are held on by only a couple of stitches.
Yeah. Mm. So we just got to really maintain our vigilance around our dog toys, remembering the onus is on the owner.
What about, so, cat toys? You know, you often get things that hang on a string, like feathers even.
Mm.
What are feathers okay?
It's just about supervising.
Okay.
You know, if your cat's got a toy, because cat toys are much more easily destroyed than dog toys. Mm. But there are some breeds of cat that do quite like the texture and chewing and swallowing things that are inappropriate. So you've just got to, you either have them out and you're playing with them or playing with your pet with them, and then they go away.
Okay.
And knowing what your pet's like, you know, is your dog the one that destroys the soft toys in an instant, or is your dog the one that will happily chew on a ball for 6 months and it's still in immaculate condition? Like, you've got to know your pet and you've got to know what they're likely to do. And if in doubt, I mean, it just comes back. It's the same thing all the time. Just supervise them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good advice. Well, thank you very much. We're going to check out our dog and cat of the week. And we're going to start with Dom.
So Dom's pretty cute, 2-year-old male ginger cat, but he does have some very unique characteristics. He's potentially a cross with a particular breed called a Selkirk Rex, which has curly hair. So he's a ginger cat, but he's got a bit of a perm, got a bit of a wave to his hair. He loves cuddles and pats, but he's a little bit shy to start with. He's not a real fan of other pets, so he would be fantastic in as an only pet household, but potentially with the right situation could potentially adjust to being a pet in another household with another pet. He could potentially adjust to a household where he's not the only pet.
Yes.
And does come with a 2-week trial, as all our fosters do.
And also, if you'd like to meet Dom, you can find him in Belmont. And there's a
nice
link.
Nice and close.
Yeah, and there's a link on our website. Next, we've got Ollie.
Ollie, super cute, Labrador cross Staffy. I just envisage this dog as being a typical cross of both those breeds. So high energy, loves activity, loves water, loves playing, loves his people. Just a really lovely family dog who could put the time and energy into making sure he is getting daily exercise, mental, physical stimulation, part of ongoing training, which is what you do with any dog. And it does say he would be best as an only pet. So just bear that in mind if you're looking to adjust to a big-hearted, large-ish breed dog who just wants to give you lots of love. He'd be a great one.
Yeah, and we've had him before, actually. So it's time that he got out of foster care and found his forever home. So you can check out Ollie on our website, 2nurfm.com.au. Ollie's also in Mayfield at the moment, so you might be able to go and check him out there. Yeah, 2NURFM.com.au. When you click on the lifestyle programs, you'll find our Pets of the Week in our Pet Chat section. And we've got Sue from Caves Beach on the line. Hi, Sue. How can we help you?
I've got some dogs at home and they keep licking dirt all the time.
Okay.
You would think that I didn't feed them. It's not like they're, you know, eating heaps and heaps of it, but they'll dig around in the dirt and then they'll start licking it.
Is this a new thing, Sue?
Nah, it's been happening for a while.
Okay. How old and what breed dogs?
I've got a Dachshund, I've got a Chihuahua, a hairy thing that I'm not sure what it is, and a Chihuahua cross Dachshund, and I think that's all.
Do you live on a farm?
No.
And how often would you say you take them for a walk, Sue?
For a walk?
Yes.
Well, they're actually my daughter's dogs, and they just run flat out. We've got a very big block.
Okay.
So, yeah, they just the one's doing it now.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, so dog digging is a very, very normal dog behaviour. They're digging for fun. They're digging to expend energy. And I think that eating dirt is probably just a byproduct of having a bit of fun with their environment. If you're not wanting them to do it, what you need to do is have other ways for them to expend their physical and mental energy. Okay. Hence my question about how often they get walked, because if you provide another opportunity for the dogs to get physical exercise and also mental stimulation from sniffing trees and watching the world go by as they explore a new environment, that's going to help them settle more when they're at home. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So physical exercise is super important. And look, I can empathise with you. Despite the number of times I tell my husband that if the dog doesn't get a walk, she'll dig a hole, he does still wonder why she digs a hole. So you're certainly not the only one. It's just them expending energy because they've got a little bit of pent up energy and they just need to move.
So the licking of the dirt, it can't harm them at all?
Look, if they have a little bit here and there, it's not going to be a problem unless you've got, you know, toxic things buried in your backyard, for example. But licking dirt is not too much of an issue. If they have a lot of it, it might end up causing a bit of constipation or maybe some gastrointestinal issues. But if it's just little bits here and there, it's likely to just be a tactile experience that they just need more exercise.
Okay. All right. That
so best
question.
No worries. Best of luck and thanks for your call, Sue.
See ya. Bye.
Bye. Now, you were talking to me off air about reindeer antlers for dogs. Now, I thought you were talking about the little things that, like, what we wear at Christmas time.
Headband decorations.
Yeah. But you're not. What are you talking about?
Yeah, so deer antlers are shed every year from the reindeer or the deer, and they're often used in pet treats for people will go along to their pet shop and buy different treats, and one of them that's available is the deer antler. That they are extremely hard and can actually cause damage to the teeth. So when they're chewing on them, they can fracture a tooth, and like you were saying before, Fiona, it's extremely painful for the dog, very expensive and
yes,
something
much
to
more
avoid.
Expensive than the treat in the first place.
Yeah, so it's something to avoid. And things like sticks as well, just making sure that your pets aren't picking up and playing and chewing with sticks as a toy. They're just not suitable.
Because they'll, what, end up getting caught in their throat?
They can get caught at all different spots. We actually had one in clinic yesterday, you know, a dog less than a year old, had it stuck up on the top of its mouth just between its two back teeth, which was very distressing for the dog. It was, you know, super easy, quick fix once they got to the vet. But, you know, a bit of a super stressful and distressing experience for the pet and the owner.
Well, that's very good advice. Thank you very much, ladies. And we'll catch up with you next week on Pet Chat.
Thanks, Amanda.
FM.